Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so this week, the Shabbos before Purim, we're going to go to Shul and we're all going to hear Parshas Zachar. We're going to read, obviously, also from Parshas Vayikra. That's the Parsha this week. And we're going to read a few psukim from Devarim as well, which reminds us of Amalek's attack on Bnei Yisrael when we left Mitzrayim. And it's the end of Parshas Ki Tetzeh. The pasuk tells us we're going to read Zachor at Asher Aselcha Malik Bederech Betzischa Mitzrayim Asher Karcha Bederech Vayizanev B'chal Kol Anechashalim Acharecha Vata Yefe Yagea Velo Yera Elohim. And you should remember, you know, how Malik came and how they fell upon you on the way, and how they massacred your stragglers and all those who trailed after you when you were faint, and you know. And did not fear God. V'haya baniach Hashem elokecha lecha mikol oivecha misaviv ba'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha nachala l'rishta tzimchat zecher amalek mitachar Hashemayim lo tishkach. Therefore, it will be when God, your God, will have given you rest from all your enemies round about in the land that God, your God, is giving you as an inheritance to take possession of it, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Do not forget. Okay, so here we have the remembering of what Amalek did to us when we left Mitzrayim, and obviously something that we need to remember for generations. And actually, the Sefer HaChinuch counts this as one of the mitzvahs. And mitzvah is Kor Masha Asa Amalek LiYisrael B'Vitzischem Mitzrayim. Okay, it's a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did to us when we left Mitzrayim. And he writes, Shenetz Tavinu Lizkor Masha Asa Amalek LiYisrael Litzgarod Bam B'Vitzischem Mitzrayim B'Terem Nasoi Goyim Amlecha Yado Aleihem. Okay, in Yacha Katov, Rashis Goyim Amalek, Batargumo, Rash Kirva di Israel, Heve Amalek, Shakol Hayu Yuriim Mehem, Bisham'am Haya Hagdola, Asher Asalahem Bimitraim, Ramalekim, Berol of Avam Ubimazgam Hara, Loshat Satu Levavlachem, Lakola Ze, Vaitz Garubam, Vavir Mutok Kach Yerasam Hagdola. Milev Shara Umos, right? What happens? You left Mitzrayim. Everyone knew about all the miracles. Everyone knew about all the great things that happened to Bnei Israel. People were afraid of you. But obviously, Amalek, they didn't pay attention to this. And they came out and they attacked you. And not only did that, but they also, you know, once they came and attacked you, it took away from the fear of the other nations of you. We know the famous medrash that's always given about Amalek. It's like that famous mashal of that hot bathtub that everyone's too afraid to jump into. You have the first person that jumps in and cools it off for everyone else, and that's exactly what Amalek did. We were coming out of Mitzrayim, we were high and mighty, everyone was afraid, they heard about all the nisim and the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us, and Amalek just went right ahead, they jumped in, and they kind of cooled it off for everyone else. And therefore, we have a mitzvah to remember this bepeh and believe with our heart and with our mouths. We have to really really think about this. V'ulai ne'amar ki minagam shel Yisrael b'parshas Zachor l'krota b'shabbat miyuchad b'chol shana Torah hi u'mipnei mitzvah zu hi shekavukein. And the Chinuch says, you know, it could be for this reason that we have this minhag every year that we actually read this from the Torah together. And this has become traditionally, when do we do this? When do we read about Amalek? The Shabbos before Purim. And yes, it's true, we do read about Amalek also on Purim when we go to Shul. Why? Because Haman is from Amalek. He's a descendant of Amalek. But no, we also have this minhag to read it before, because we have to realize that this idea to remember Amalek came even before Haman, right? Amalek attacked us when we left Mitzrayim, and because it preceded that, we read it even before we come to Purim. Avos mucha la Purim al derech mashayim ruzichon levracha b'mkomot simchu inyan lo v'noga mitzvah zu b'chol makom u'b'chol zman b'schiram ki lahem latzot ha'melchama V'nekamat ha'oyev lo l'nashim. So it's very interesting. So he says, yes, we all have this minhag, but really, because the mitzvah is to actually go out and wage war against Amalek, and women are not obligated in battle, the Chinuch says, really, this is not something that women are obligated in. So really, there's a lot of discussion, you know, throughout the poskim, the Rishonim, well, are women obligated in Parshas Zachar? And or are they not? Some consider it to be a mitzvah that's not time-bound, and so therefore, women are obligated. But there's another view in the Rishonim that holds that, you know, women are not obligated to hear Parshas Zachar. And one of the reasons they give is because, you know, when we discuss and we think about the evil that was perpetrated by Amalek, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to go out and kill them and to go out in war. And because women are not obligated in war, therefore they are exempt from this mitzvah. This is the view held by the Chinuch, by the Binyan Sion, who quotes Rav Nassin Adler, the Maharal Diskin, and the Minchas Elazar. And there are even some, like the Avni Nezer, who hold that actually the mitzvah to hear Parshas Zachar is man grama, and so therefore we know women are exempt from mitzvahs ashes yes man grama, and therefore women are exempt. You know, as recently as Rav Chaim Kanievsky has quoted the Chazon Ish as having exempted women. So, I guess the first question that I'd like to ask is, we see that there are so many conflicting views. Are women obligated? Are they not obligated? But we know that throughout the generations, it's really become the practice that women go to shul to hear Parshas Zachar. So, the question is why? Why has this become something that women have held on so tightly to, that women go, we get up early, we make sure to get out, to go specifically to hear Parshas Zachar when there's so much back and forth if we are actually obligated or not? Okay, also, there's another fascinating medrash in Bereishis Rabbah at the end of Parshas B'Shalach that discusses Amalek. And the medrash says, Amar Rabbi Ada, Ba'al Pagdonot Ani, Amalek hifkid eitzel chavilot shel kotim, ve'achzir lo HaKadosh Baruch chavilot shel kotim. Hashem says, I'm a bal pakid. I keep an accounting, you know. I do everything that I do is gechashbens, you know. Amalek, what did they give me? They gave me these baskets of kotim, these thorns and thistles. So what did I give back to them, Hashem says? So I did the same. I gave them chavilot shel kotim, like the pasuk in Shmuel says, Pakarati et asher asa Amalek li Yisrael. Sara hefkida etzli mitzos umaisin tovim. And Sara yimenu, what did she give to me? What did she do? She did mitzos and maisin tovim. Hechzir la kadosh baruch hu mitzos umaisin tovim. And so I repaid her in kind. And like the pasuk says, Vashem pakara Sara. And Hashem remembered Sara. And the nitziv in his herchav davar, he asked, V'hu pela, ma inyan Sara la Amalek? He says, this is like fascinating. What is the connection between Sara Yimeinu and Amalek? V'kin ein lanu tzadik v'rasha ela Sara v'Amalek? Are there no other tzadikim or rasha'im that we have to make this comparison? Out of all the people, out of all the things, out of all the good and the bad, we are making this comparison between Sara and Amalek? Very strange. You know, and why specifically is Sara Yimeinu the person that's keneged Amalek? Are there no other tzadikim, you know, that can quote-unquote fight or counteract the power of Amalek? So what's the connection between Sara Yimeinu and Amalek? In fact, there's another source that seems to say that the zchus of Sara stands against Amalek. The Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, Rabbi Akiva haya yoshev v'doresh v'hatzibor mitnamim. Bikesh la'oraron. So basically, Rabbi Akiva was sitting and he was giving a drasha, he was teaching his students, and they started to fall asleep. And he wanted to wake them up. You know, come on guys, get back into the learning. So what did he say? Amar, Ma rata Esther shatimloch al sheva v'esrimomea medina. How did Esther see that she should rule over 127 provinces? Ela tavo Esther shaita bat bita shel Sarah. But rather, Esther should come, who's the descendant, who's the daughter of the daughter of Sarah, Shechia Kuf Chaf Zayin, Vatimloch Al Kuf Chaf Zayin Medino. That Esther, who's the descendant of Sarah, who lived 127 years, should come and rule over 127 provinces. So again, we see that there's some connection between our Purim story, between the story that's dealing with Amalek, and Sara Yimeinu. So I think we have to understand why Sara specifically is the koach against Amalek. The pasuk in the Megillah tells us, Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan habira, ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi kish ishimini. the Megillah introduces us to our, you know, our one of our heroes in the story, introduces us to Mordechai, and he gives us his lineage, Ish Yehudi, Hayah B'Shushan, and it goes through everything. You know, who his parents are, who his family was. The Gemara Megillah tells us, Aviv mi Binyamin, v'imo mi Yehuda. What's all this lineage? Well, his father was from Binyamin, and his mother was from Yehuda. And Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz in his Sefer Yaros Devash asks, Yesh lahavin, lama lo matzinu kein b'shum makom sheyiyeh achad medyacheis gam kein l'mishpachot eim u'me'olam lo medyacheis l'shifto shel eim. Right? Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz says, I don't understand. Why are we giving Mordechai's yichas through the mother? When we talk about shvatim, right? The mother has no place when it comes to the lineage of a person's shevet. And yet here, where the pasuk is describing Mordechai Atzadik, specifically not only telling us that he comes from Binyamin, Ben Kish Ishimini, but also Ish Yehudi, that he's also from Shevet Yehuda, which is from the lineage from his mother, which is not usually something, usually when we talk about lineage, we talk about is someone Jewish or not, that comes from the mother. But when we talk about Shvatim, and we talk about that type of lineage, we don't mention the mother. And yet here, the Pasuk specifically does it. So why is the Pasuk including the mother's lineage as well? And I think in order to understand, you know, the answer to these questions, we have to understand the role of a Jewish mother. The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Shema b'ni musar avicha va'al titosh toras imecha. Listen, my child, to the musar of your father, and don't forsake the Torah of your mother. And Rashi there comments, Shema b'ni musar avicha, what is the musar of your father? Masha natana kadosh baruch hu l'moshe v'chtav u'ba'al peh. What is that? The Torah Shebechtav, the Torah Shebal Peh. And what's the Torah Simecha? Heim divrei sofrim shechadshu vahosifu vaasu siyagim laTorah. What's the Torah of your mother? It's not just the Torah Shebal Peh and the Torah Shebechtav, but these are the things that were quote-unquote added, the sigim, the fences, the extra protections that were added later on. That specifically is the Torah of the attributed as the Torah of your mother. And Rav Ramshor in his Sefer Lekach V'Alibov quotes an idea that he heard from Rav Huttner. And he writes, Kiyesh bris avos u bris avos. He says there's two types of covenants that we have. We have the bris of the fathers and the bris of the mothers. V'yesh l'kol achad avodah miyuchedet. And each bris, each side, the father and the mother, each has their own specific, you know, unique avodah, unique job. What is the job that's unique to the fathers? The ase tov, the going out and the doing and the doing good, being proactive. Hamasor shala avos midor lador. Kocha avos lamsor Yerusha livnehem acharehem. Masor shal Torah v'derech avodas Hashem. That's the Masorah, that's the power of the fathers. They give over to the children this idea of ase tov, of doing good, of following Torah, and making a path for yourself within the service of God, within Avodas Hashem. Ha'imahos yesh lahem ha'avodah shel sor meira. But what's the specific job, or the specific tafkid of the mother? They have this avodah of sor meira, which means staying away from the bad. L'ros u'lahavchin bein ra l'tov. That they are able to decipher and differentiate between good and bad. L'shmor eschomas habayis. And they are the ones who are able to watch over the quote unquote the walls of the house. They are the ones who watch over the house and guard the house specifically so that outside influences do not come into the house. That bad things, zarim, foreign objects, and foreign influences don't come in and affect the house. And that's the job specifically of the mother. While the father goes and he instills in his children this ase tov, this going out, this doing, you know, finding a path in Torah, keeping mitzvot, finding a path in Avodah Hashem, the mother's specific niche is that she creates the walls of the house, is that she protects her family from outside influences and keeping away the sur meira, keeping away from the bad things that can penetrate. The job of the mother is to protect and to watch. It's in her nature. It's part of her makeup. Like the Pasuk in Devarim tells us, Va'aim rovetet al ha'efrochim o al ha'beitzim. the mother, we're specifically talking about the mother bird, what does she do? She hovers over her chicks and her eggs. She watches them and she guards them. That's just who she is. It's part of her genetic makeup. It's part of her personal natiyas, her inclinations, that's what she does. The mother wants to watch and protect her children in her home. And that's what the woman does. She creates the walls of the home. Like the Gemara in Yevamos on Samach Bet, Amud Bet tells us, Kol ha-sharoi below isha, anyone who lives without a wife, sharoi below choma, lives without a wall. Because the wall she creates protects her husband and her children, and it separates between good and bad, and it does not allow the damaging things to permeate. The Gemara Bracha tells us, isha makeres ba'orchem yoter min ha'ish. A woman has a more of a natural ability to recognize guests, to recognize foreign influences more than a man, and she can shield her family from them by choosing who and what she wants to allow to come into the home. And Rav Avram Shor writes, Avodas ha'em b'Yisrael hi hakamat habayit isha avodasa yiras Hashem kedichtiv isha yiras Hashem hi titalel. What is the job of the woman? It's to create this house. Her job is within the framework of Yiras Hashem, like the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, who is a woman who is praised? One who fears God. Ketiv Eitzel HaMialdot, it's written by the midwives, specifically Shifra and Pua Mitzrayim, Vatarena HaMialdot et Halokim, that these women, they fear God. Remember, Paro told them, you guys have to kill all the Jewish baby boys, and they did not listen. In fact, the Pasuk tells us, no, they were God-fearing. So what happens? V'akadosh Baruch Hu natan lahem b'schar zeh. What was the reward that they received for fearing God and not listening to Paro? Batim. They received houses. Ki adam sheyesh lo yira hu mugdar b'mechitzos. Because a person who has this yira, who has this fear of God, he has a geder, he has mechitzos, he has separations around him. Ki ayira hu geder misaviv la'adam. Because that's what yira is. It's this geder, it's this boundary around man. V'lechein kasher hamildot hayelahem yira hare midah keneged midah natan lahem batim. Because these women specifically had this midah of yira, they had this concept of these gedarim, Hashem gave them batim, which is the same concept of mechitos and gedarim, a house. Shebayit vaya mugdar b'mechitot, sheruach habayit yia ruach shel tara. Because that's what a house is. When you have a house and you have walls, you create a place, you create a sanctuary that has tahara and kedusha, that has purity and sanctity. And that's what the woman is. The woman is the akaret habayit. She's the mainstay of the home. And she determines the atmosphere and the character of the home, as well as what she's going to allow to come in and out of her house. And actually, this is the praise that Avram Avinu gave Sarah Imeno at her hesped. It said that what was the hesped that Avram Avinu gave to his wife? Eish Yisrael, the parak that we read in Mishlei. And Chazal tell us, Amru Chazal in the Medrash in Tanchuma, one of the lines, Darshat Semer Ufishtim, which literally means, she seeks out wool and flax. And the Medrash tells us, what does this mean? We're talking about Sarah. What was this praise that Avram gave his wife Sarah? Bein Yitzchak li Yishmael, she'amra garesh ha'ama hazos ve'esbaneha. That she saw that between Yitzchak and Yishmael, what was going on, and she said to Avram, "You need to send away this. You need to send away Yishmael." He and Rav Avram Shor continues. He avina ki Yishmael im Yitzchak heim kamo kilayim. Sarah Yemenu saw that Yishmael and Yitzchak, when you put them together, like kilayim. Kilayim is shatness. We know that's a mixture of wool and flax that are wool and linen that are never allowed to be combined. V'zeha kavana darshat semer ufishtim. And this is the intention of the praise that Avram Avinu gave of darshat semer ufishtim. Harei shesara imenu hayazeh shehivin hasakana shel Yishmael v'yirichekoto. Sarah was the one who understood the sakana, the ill effect that Yishmael could have, and therefore she wanted to distance him from her son. Kize avodas ha'imahos, l'shmor al habayis me'ashpa osaros. Because this specifically is the job and the unique ability and talents of the mother and the woman, that she's able to recognize these negative influences and separate them from her home and from her children. Actually, a debate ensued between Avram and Sarah. Sarah said to Avram, Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Yud, Garesha Ama Hazos Ve'espana, Ki Lo Yirash Ben Ha'ama Hazos Im Bini Im Yitzchak. Sarah said, you got to send them out. Send away Hagar, send away Yishmael. He can't inherit with my son. This is not a good situation. And then the pasuk continues, Vayera Hadavar Ma'od Be'nei Avraham Al Dos Beno. But this didn't sit well with Avram. And Rashi tells us, Al She'om Merit Lo L'Sholcho. What didn't sit well with Avram according to Rashi? That Sarah told him, you got to send away your son. It was Avram wasn't okay with that. And it's interesting because in the previous parsha, when Sarah had trouble with Hagar, Avram said to her, "Hinei shifcho secha biyadech, asila hatol beinecha." Like when the problem came up with Hagar, he was okay. He said, "Okay, Sarah, I'm trusting you. You do what you see fit." But here, Avram wants to object, and Hashem speaks very strongly to Avram, and he says, "Vayomer Elokim al Avram, al yei rabeinecha al anar va'al amasecha." Don't see this in a negative light. Kol asher tamar lecha Sarah, everything that Sarah tells you, shma bekola, you must listen to her. Ki bi Yitzchak yikarei lecha Zera, because Yitzchak is going to be your future offspring. Hashem agrees with Sarah, he takes her side, and she acts accordingly. What was it that caused Sarah to decide that Yishmael had to go? The pasuk tells us, Vatera Sarah es ben Hagar ha-mitzris asher yolda la'avram mitzachet. That Sarah saw that Yishmael was mitzachik. And Chazal explained to us that the word mitzachik means Yishmael was involved in three things, which are all described with the same shorash as tzchok, namely avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shvichas damim. Sarah was able to see what Yishmael was really doing, and therefore she came up with this idea. The Tosefta tells us, Amar Sarah, shemra yilmod Yitzchak b'ni mimeno. Sarah was afraid. She said, you know, Yishmael is the older one. Maybe my son Yitzchak, he's going to learn from him. And what's he going to do? He sees, you know, his big brother in the house doing this. He's going to follow him. Maybe he'll go after Avodah Zarah or any of these other really negative things. And then what's going to happen? We're going to have a Chilul Shamayim. That Yitzchak is going to be doing these terrible things. Amar la Avraham, lachar she'asuna givira lahagar nitradna mitoch beitenu. But Avram said, but wait a second. I made his mother my wife, a givira. She's not just a maidservant. After I make her my wife, then I could send her out from my house. Ma briot omrod aleinu. He said, well, what is everyone going to say about us? Lo nimsa shem shemayim etzchalel badavar. He said, won't that cause a great Chilul Hashem? People are going to look at Avram and Sarah, look, the leaders of the generation, these amazing people, these Balei Chesed, and look what's happening. He makes her his wife and then he sends her away. That's going to be a great Chilul Shamayim. That's going to cause desecration to Hashem's name. So Sarah said, listen, if your complaint, your chief, you know, thing that you're worried about is Chil Hashem, desecration of Hashem's name, so let Hashem decide, you know, which one he thinks is the right answer. And what did Hashem decide? That Avram should listen to Sarah. You know, Avram and Sarah debated what was really going to bring about the Chil Hashem. Would it be Yitzchak learning from Yishmael, excuse ways, or would it be sending Hagar away after she already had the status of Avram's wife? And in the end, Hashem sided with Sarah, and Yishmael was sent away. Rav Yedid, in his sefer, Arba Imaos Ve'ema Melucha, he writes, Kan ro'im es pulaseh shel Sarah ke'im ha'uma ha'yisraelis ha'asidis. Here we see Sarah's actions as the mother of the Jewish nation, of the future Jewish nation. She is able to separate and differentiate between what is ikar, what is really important, and what is tafel, what is not as important. She knows better than Avraham what's really the ikar and how to put her house on the right footing. Sarah wrote, "Seb bechinucho shel Yitzchak b'li." Iruvo im Yishmael. He miyasedes eshitas halavadios kfar babeita shala. Kemasa avos v'imos sha'atid liyot siman labanim. Shogdiro ki am lavadad yishkon bagoyim lo yitzchashav. She said that she wanted that Yishmael should be mechanech, that he should be educated without these outside influences, without what Yishmael was bringing to the table. And therefore, she establishes now this concept of levadius, of separating, of being alone from these negative influences. As we know, a concept from Bereishis, from the Ramban, and that what? Everything that happens, everything that transpired to the Avos and Imaos in Bereishis is really a siman labanim, masa avos siman labanim. They're setting and they're paving the way for us for the future and giving us those powers and those capabilities to actually be able to do those things in the future. And she's actually giving us that ability. She's setting the framework and the tone for the future of Klal Yisrael that we have. We know ki am levadad yishkon ubagayim lo yitchashav. Bnei Yisrael are a nation that we stand alone. We stay separate. We try not to mingle with these outside influences. Efshar shamashmaot Hamusag im yeshbo et hamashmoot shel im shehu batnaya, and Rav Yudid actually quotes the Radak in a Sefer Ashel Roshan that says maybe the name im, the name mother, really is connected to the word im, if, that which is a condition. Ha'im hi hamamida et ha'im b'makomo hanachom. The mother is the one who places the if, in the right place. And in this way, she leads the house. Sari Imenu was the one who put the fences for the building of the house of Klal Yisrael. Meaning, she's the one who decides if and what. Is this going to kind of come in? Is this not going to come in? The aim decides im. She decides if. And she's the one with this ability who knows where to place the boundaries, who knows when to say, this is not okay. I can't allow this in. This is going to influence my home. This can affect my children, my house, etc. Sarah saw the negative qualities in Yishmael, and she knew that it was going to be harmful to Yitzchak. And thus she required that he be sent away. It is for this that Avram praised her, as she recognized that the two were like tsemer ufishtim, were like wool and linen, and cannot be put together, just like shatnez cannot be put together. The pasuk in Devarim, Per Chafbet, pasuk Aleph, tells us, Lo telbash shatnez tsemer ufishtim yachdav, that a person cannot wear shatnez. What is shatnez? Wool and linen together. And though the mitzvah is a chok, something that we don't know the reason for, symbolically, shatnez represents different items that cannot and should be mixed. There are things which require boundaries and borders and cannot be mixed together. The Zohar tells us that the word shatnez is a contraction of satan oz. The satan is strong. Because when we mix things and we bring things together that should not go together, we empower the satan. And this is the unique ability and strength of the Jewish mother, to identify and differentiate between things that should not be mixed, creating boundaries and fences for her family and her home. And this is exactly how Amalek tries to get us. They try to penetrate and seep in. They try to defile us, as the pasuk says, Asher karcha baderech. Rashi says, Lashon keri v'tuma. Tuma, they try to bring impurities and defile us. And who do they attack? Who did Amalek come after? Did they come and wage war against us, coming up to us with a sword? No, that's not what the pasuk says. Vayizanev becha kol anechashalim acharecha. They attacked your stragglers, those who trailed after you. Who were the stragglers? Rashi tells us, chisare koach, those who lacked strength, machmat chataam, because of their sin, shaya anan poltan, because of their sins, the anan, the clouds, ejected them. They were the people who were outside the ananim. They were outside the house. They lacked the proper boundaries. And it was those people that Amalek was able to come and to affect and to defile. And it is on Haman, the villain in our Purim story, and the descendant of Amalek, that the Gemara in Chulin asks, Haman minat Torah minayin? Where do we see a source? Where do we see a reference to Haman in the Torah? And it quotes the pasuk in Bereishis, Gimel Yud Aleph, Hamin ha'etz asher tziviticha levilti echol mimeno achalta. It's when Hashem says to Adam, wait a second, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Remember the Eitz Hadas, where Adam and Chava were told, no, you can't eat from this. And then, unfortunately, they sinned, and Hashem said to Adam, wait a second, did you eat from that tree? That's where we see Hamin Haman. Rebbetzin Heller, in her book, More Precious Than Pearls, writes, "The commandment not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil requires greater explanation. What was forbidden was to assimilate good and evil as a mixture. Until partaking of the fruit, the delineations that separated good and bad were very clearly defined. It was possible to make the wrong choice, the proof being that Adam and Chava indeed did. But the basis of the choice-making process was conscious decision-making, not confusion. Today, in our after-the-sin state, many mistakes in life are made on the basis of inability to separate good from bad, or reality from illusion. Everything is blurred in our perception and in our emotions. This affects our relationship both with God and with our fellow humans. This is a manifestation of the effect of consuming the fruit that had within it the capacity to entwine good and evil, to the degree that they seem at times inseparable. Indeed, they are, without the objectivity of an outside yardstick, Torah law to mediate between them. This is precisely the source of Haman and Amalek's power, blurring the boundaries, mixing good and evil. And in this way, they challenge us and succeed over us. And it is in this way that they were able to attack us." That's exactly what happened when we ate from the Eitz Hadas. We took the bad and we brought it inside. We mixed good and evil. We lacked the boundaries. And that's the source in the Torah of Haman, who Amalek is. Amalek doesn't come head on to us. They come, they try to blur the boundaries. They try to attack us when we're weak, when we're ejected from our nunim, when we don't have those proper walls of a home, of a choma, of those clouds. The pasuk tells us in Bishalach, "Vayavo Amalek, vayilachim im Yisrael berefidim." Amalek came, and when did they battle Yisrael? Where did they battle Bnei Yisrael? In Refidim. The Mechilta interprets the word Refidim as a contraction of Refu Yedehem min haTorah, meaning they loosened their grip on the Torah. As long as Bnei Yisrael were diligent in their Torah study, Amalek had no dominion over them. As long as we knew who we were and what we stood for, we learned Torah, which, what does Torah do? It establishes guidelines and boundaries. Amalek had no power over us. But it was when we became lax in these things that Amalek came and attacked us. And it's this ability to set boundaries and fences that's really the koach of the Jewish mother, specifically established and given to us from Sara Imenu, that helps us counteract Amalek. It's for this reason that Sarah is specifically the one Keneged Amalek. It is the koach that she transmitted to us that helps us continue to fight Amalek from generation to generation. And it's specifically for this reason that the Megillah emphasizes Mordechai's lineage, not only from his father, but from his mother. Because it's the koach that Mordechai received from his mother to set boundaries, to make separations that allowed him to stand up against, that allowed him to what? Not only stand up against going to Ahasuerus' party, but ultimately to fight against Haman, a descendant of Amalek. And I think we can see this concept in another area of our observance of Purim. The Mishnah Megillah tells us, Karchin Hamukafin Choma Miyamot Yoshua Benun Korin Betetvav. The Mishnah is discussing, you know, when we read the Megillah. And it says, the cities that were walled from the time of Yoshua Benun, they read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar. And the Rishonim ask, "Ma ra'u chazal l'chalek ha-mitzvah hazos l'prazim ul'mukafim b'fnei atzmam? Halo Torah achad u'mishpa achad yelachem?" Why are we dividing the Megillah reading? Oh, some of you on the 14th, some of you on the 15th, it really depends where you live. Do you have a walled city? Do you not have a walled city? Don't we have this concept of one Torah? We're all in this together. Why are Chazal making, why are they making these differentiations? And the Yerushalmi answers, "Kedei lachlo kavod la'aretz Yisrael," in order to give honor to Eretz Yisrael. It's a very strange answer, you know, and in what way is this giving honor to Eretz Yisrael? In the Chasam Sofer, he writes, "V'lefi ani yazdaiti, la'aros lanu ki harisas chomosenu hagvahos garam lanu kol zos." He says, in my humble opinion, it's the destroying of our walls, of our tall fences, that caused us all these things. "V'ilu haya lanu zuchuta de'aret Yisrael, lo hayu uma ulashon yecholo l'shlopanu." If we had the zchus of Eretz Yisrael, no other nation would have had any shlita, any power over us. "Amnam al asher batalnu chomos Yoshua benun asher kidesh Eretz Yisrael b'tzchilato." But what? Because we nullified, we got rid of the walls that from the times of Yehoshua ben Nun, va'anachnu garmu levatel kedushato, alkein banu kol elila, sheyit garu banu hasonim, asher echlish Yehoshua ba'atmo, va'alkein nizkar shemo, shel hanes mukavas choma mimos Yehoshua ben Nun. He says, what is it? It was because we, so to speak, destroyed the walls and the boundaries that Yehoshua established for us. Our enemy, Amalek, was able to gain power and affect us. If we would have had this chus of Eretz Yisrael, what does Eretz Yisrael symbolize? Our own home, our own bias, our own walls, our own boundaries, our gedarim. The enemies would have no ability to affect us. But because we removed those boundaries, we allowed the enemy to come in. And that's what caused all these things to happen, specifically Amalek and Haman gaining power over us to the point that we were almost destroyed. But I think the connection is one step deeper. The Rishonim asked, why do we specifically connect the reading back to Yehoshua ben Nun, right? Out of all people, what's the connection of Yehoshua ben Nun back to this Purim story? And the Meiri answered, because Yehoshua was the first one. He was the one who actually battled Amalek, and so therefore Purim is a story about Amalek. Haman is from Amalek, and therefore we connect it back to Yehoshua. But where does Yehoshua get the koach? Where does he get this power to defeat Amalek? From Sarah Imenu. When Hashem changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah, the Yud complained. He said to Hashem, well, what's with me? I was on the name of a tzaddikas, and now I'm nothing and I'm nowhere. And the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin tells us, Hashem calmed the Yud down, and he said, don't worry, Yud. I'm going to take you from the end of a tzaddikas' name, and I'm going to put you at the beginning of someone else's name. And there the Pasuk tells us, in Bamidbar, Vayikra Moshe Hoshea ben Nun, Yehoshua. The Yud that came from the end of Sarai's name, what did Hashem do? Put it at the beginning of Yehoshua's name. Yehoshua was given a letter from Sarah's name, and with it, the ability to battle and succeed against Amalek. Just as Sarah was able to set boundaries and succeed in keeping bad influences out and away from Yitzchak. And we know that the battle with Amalek is midor lador. It's something that we're supposed to think about and fight against each and every day. And sometimes it can be hard to understand and relate to, especially when you think of a battle with Amalek in terms of war, of guns and knives. But Amalek is far more insidious than that. They don't come against us with swords and guns and rifles. They try to seep in. They try to penetrate. They try to defile us and our homes with tumah. And it's in that way that they gain control over us. And it's the ability to set boundaries and fortify the home that is the unique power of the Jewish mother, passed down to us from Sarah Imenu. And it is with this in mind that hopefully we're going to succeed in defeating Amalek. And I think it's precisely for this reason that Jewish women have accepted upon themselves as a minhag to go to shul to hear Parshat Zachar. Whether or not they are actually obligated, it is this mission of remembering and destroying Amalek that has been entrusted to the Jewish woman for generations, and so she goes to shul to remind her of her ability and to reconnect with her battle cry. And I hope with this in mind, we'll be able to fortify our homes and really battle Amalek and hopefully bring about the Geula and bring back our ultimate bias of the Beis HaMikdash.